Chapter 2. Finishing Touches. Riding the elevator up to the main floor, Evan waited for the doors to slide open. In the massive Greenville University biosphere, stretching over 100 hectares and consisting of several unique habitats filled with living plants and animals from all over the globe, Professor's most important laboratory was located in the middle of the glass rainforest biome. The Paradise Room, as he called it, was about the size of a small house, and so far, very well concealed. When the elevator shaft opened, Evan walked into the bright greenhouse enclosure, which housed the enormous dome terrarium. As always, a stately painting of the professor was the first thing to come into view. In Evan's opinion, the painter had copied Jack's European features quite accurately, even if he had generously darkened the now nearly white goatee and short gray hair. Seeing the professor in a crisp black suit like the one in the painting was extremely rare, but it did give him a handsome appearance. Copies of this painting hung in two other places in the Greenville biosphere. Everyone knew that without Jack Slamon's foresight and generous donations toward the inception of the university biosphere, it may never have been built. 15 years previous, when Jax had first discovered how to create a tiny geranium, he had also inherited an enormous sum of money. His father, who was 45 years older, had been a brilliant computer software developer who had always wished he'd been a scientist and was very proud of his son's achievements. When he and Jack's mother had died in a terrible car accident, leaving a multi-million-dollar inheritance to their only son, one important stipulation was attached. The stipulation was that the money could only be spent to further scientific research. Eager to continue his own research and to provide ample opportunity for others, the professor had persuaded the Greenville University to build the large rainforest biome on their vacant rolling hills. With the help of his cousin, an architect engineer, the first biome had emerged in spectacular fashion, encouraging a nationwide contribution to build the two other glass structures, now housing the desert and Arctic tundra biomes. Now three fully enclosed, freestanding glass structures, complete with live animals and birds, stood within walking distance of the university. They were surrounded by natural Canadian gardens, displaying the boreal and deciduous forests, tundra, and wildflowers. Already, the Greenville biosphere was becoming a notable research and education center during the university semesters, and a major tourist location over the holidays. While most of the other university staff were aware that the Professor Lemans had a private room in the middle of the rainforest biome, no one knew about the underground chambers and laboratories. Hidden entrances and exits had concealed the secret research project from nearly everyone. Evan was the only student that Professor Lemans had ever dared trust with his incredibly important venture. They both hoped that one day soon, Paradise might be the biosphere's main attraction. With this long-term vision in mind, the northern wall of the large upstairs room was a glass viewing area. It was attached to a large, still unrevealed hall, which also served as the acknowledged entrance to Professor Lemans' private office. His name tag was fixed to the locked door, but no one except he and Evan had ever entered. It had all been purposely designed for the day when the whole world would be invited to view the one and only miniature paradise. "Here are the trees, sir," Evan said, bringing the tray over. Pulling on a new pair of disposable latex gloves and donning a mask, Professor Lemans prepared for the last planting in paradise. It was crucial that they didn't contaminate the new world with any virus or unwanted bacteria. He picked up tweezers and a soft brush from his desk. "Thank you," he said excitedly. "Let's get them in." A button on the wall lowered the size of the curved glass dome. About 50 meters in circumference, it took the professor 60 casual strides to walk all the way around the circular terrarium. Inside, the professor had created a lake that stretched fully across the south end, complete with a wave simulator monitored from the lab computer. They had already stocked the lake with miniature fish of the best eating variety, perch, bass, trout, and freshwater salmon. A 35-centimeter wide strip of fine white sand lay all along the vast shoreline. "Can't wait to see the tinies build boats," Professor Lemans chuckled as he pressed the trigger on his lift pod to get inside the dome. "It's going to be so fun watching them enjoy our world," Evan agreed. The dome terrarium had been especially prepared with privacy window film all around the sides, while the overhead glass was transparent. Standing outside the terrarium, looking in, the glass was perfectly clear from every direction. Standing inside the terrarium, the sun, moon, and stars were perfectly visible above day and night, since the dome was situated within the greenhouse glass of the biome. However, around the sides, the glass was tinted. The tinies would be unable to see anyone watching them, unless, and very unlikely, someone was able to climb 12 meters up the greenhouse structure and look in from the roof. Drones had been banned in the vicinity. Believing strongly that one day everyone would be interested in studying his new creation, Professor Lemans had used the privacy window film to ensure the tinies could be observed without their knowledge. He wanted an accurate assessment of their day-to-day life. Tiptoeing carefully inside, trying to stand only on the sandy beach and avoid crushing Evan's newly constructed wooden schoolhouse, the professor reached toward the hills. He was planting the rest of the trees on the west side of the dome. The lovely forested hills would cleanse the air and provide an enjoyable habitat. Evan leaned over the lowered glass wall of the dome with his long arm outstretched and handed the professor three more eucalyptus. Little trees were about the size of his index finger. "These are doing well," he said. "It's amazing how quickly everything matures." "It is," Professor Lemans smiled, carefully tamping the eucalyptus trees into the rich soil. "I do believe it's the pent-up energy." Evan agreed. He and the professor favored the theory that the miniaturized cells of the tinies, pre-programmed to produce something 30 to 40 times larger, directed their restricted energy into an accelerated maturity. The professor interspersed the eucalyptus among the blue spruce and pines. The professor hadn't produced every species of tree for the hills, just a few which would remain green all year long. He had been much more liberal in the orchard. An abundant variety of fruit trees from all over the world were already well established in the farmland. While he was planting the trees, Evan told the professor about the children's portraits and the conversation he'd had with three of the girls. "They're very curious about you," Evan explained. "That's just fine," the professor replied, planting another eucalyptus. "But we need to remain detached. This is first and foremost a research project. You know how close I've become to Louis." Evan nodded. He knew the plan was for the project to operate under the auspices of naturalistic observational research, but he yearned to stay involved. "Louis has become like your son," he agreed. "And I don't want that to happen with these new tinies. I will need to stay close to Louis and communicate with him, but the others need to stay independent from me and you from this point on. We can't let our involvement tarnish our research. And anyhow, I do believe they will all function better without any higher power intimidating them or making rules or governing in any way." "I know," Evan smiled, having heard this speech numerous times. "You want the tinies to function with Louis as their loving relative and live in total happiness." "Exactly. It's regrettable we didn't end up with an Aunt Loretta. Maybe a few other older tinies who could help Louis out." Shaking his head sadly, he added, "If only I hadn't lost so many early on." Evan knew all about the early failures. It was remarkable that they had now had 21 healthy, normal tinies. "The kids do like calling him Uncle Louis," he chuckled. "Gives them a sense of a special relationship." "That's right," the professor agreed. "They have Uncle Louis, so we need to stand back and remain objective." "We're not going to feel any emotion?" Evan queried, knowing how attached he felt already. The professor looked up from his work and smiled ruefully. "Our goal is to remain detached and objective," he reiterated. "I'm not saying it'll be easy." Evan nodded and handed him a few more eucalyptus. Changing the subject, he said, "If I were a tiny, I'd build my house on this hill." Pointing to the hill closest to him, Evan noted, "From here there is a fantastic view of the lake, even though it's surrounded by forest." "It is a great spot," the professor agreed, scratching a small hole in the fertile, sterilized soil. He popped in another tree. "Maybe Louis will claim it." "I hope he does set up here," Evan stated with a chuckle, "especially since the control cave is directly underneath." Pausing to reflect where the next tree should go, Professor Lemans added, "I love the way the rain has already carved small gullies on the hills." "Did you see the waterfall yesterday?" Evan asked. An automatic sprinkler system, coined the Rainmaker, extended in a metal arch and ran flush against the dome ceiling. Tiny holes mimicked rainfall and generally watered the terrarium every night between 2 and 4 a.m. Evan had chosen a large granite rock to make the tallest hill, and just yesterday, after manually turning on the rainmaker, he had noticed a waterfall streaming over the rock ledge and running through the lowlands. "Really? A waterfall?" the professor replied. "That'll be beautiful." A moment later, he said, "However, I guess it'll never be seen unless we occasionally turn on the rain during the day." "True," Evan agreed. "Maybe the odd rainy day will be a welcome novelty for them." "Sunshine is much nicer," the professor replied, not fond of rainy days. Gesturing toward a hill without trees near the North Forest, the professor said, "I've decided to leave that hill bare. If the Tinies ever build something with wheels, it is steep enough to have some fun. It even has a good bump in just the right spot." "Mountain biking, you've thought of everything," Evan exclaimed with admiration, handing the professor another 5 trees. "I hope so. Once everything has been released into this world, I really don't want to interfere. Aside from sending in daily supplies, and keeping them safe, of course, I want them to learn to be resourceful and independent." Holding out another 3 trees, Evan asked, "Where would you build your house, Professor?" Professor LeMans didn't hesitate. "Probably down by the orchard and gardens. Then I could keep on experimenting." Evan laughed. "That would be perfect for you." Glancing over to the east side of the dome, Evan admired the lush, green, rolling lowlands. He knew they would be excellent for farming. He and the professor had layered the soil with fine gravel and limestone for drainage, then well-rotted compost and a heavy layer of the best triple-mix soil they could buy. Already, the little fruit orchards were taking root and growing strong along the newly formed but usually dry riverbed. The mining area lay in the northeast, round, grassy, and unforested. It was a large hill full of quartz, fine gravel, sand, piles of pebbles, and many, many flat building rocks. Far down, buried in those layers, was a lovely crystal suncatcher and some precious gems. They hoped the Tinies would in time find these treasures and use them in their own creative ways. In the building between the mining hill and the steep, bare hill with a bump, the professor had built the supply store. It was well stocked with useful items like building boards, wooden doweling, toothpicks, brass tacks, wire, and basic grocery supplies. The store even had a usable kitchen for food preparation, attached as it was to electricity and water below. Evan was proud of the non-polluting electric train he had set up that came in through a tunnel in the north end and delivered supplies directly to the store. It was just a simple in-and-out track through a highly secure tunnel system, but one that would allow himself and the professor to give the Tinies everything they needed to build, survive, and thrive. "Trees are in," Professor LeMans exclaimed happily, standing up and wiping his hands together. He stepped back one careful step on the shoreline to look at the forest. "I love it." "It's such a fantastic world," Evan agreed. "I wish I was a Tiny." "Me too," the professor laughed. Stepping into the lift pod, he raised himself up and out of the large terrarium. "So let's get it all in working order," Professor LeMans directed hastily as he swung down. "Today we will release the birds and animals and ensure everything is functioning well." Clapping his hands together, he added, "This is the moment I've been waiting for all these years. Finally, paradise will be filled with life and sound." Evan pressed the red button on the wall. With a quiet whir, the curved dome side slid slowly up and clicked back into place. Below the red button were 3 other buttons, a white, a blue, and a black. Evan pressed the white button, and rich, well-filtered, oxygenated air filled the dome, streaming in through a long, round pipe with tiny holes that circumvented the terrarium just above the ground. To settle in the new plantings, Evan also pressed the blue button to activate the rainmaker. From the north side of the dome, the curved metal tube skimmed along the arched ceiling of the dome, slowly and gently raining on the world below. Was a perfect rain. Not too hard, not too light, just sufficient to water the hills and the valleys and keep everything lush and green. "I want to see this waterfall," the professor exclaimed happily, walking over to stand beside Evan. "Stopwatch is set," Evan smiled, tapping his phone and holding it in view. "We'll get an accurate count on how long it takes a waterfall to form." Enthralled by the beauty of their new little world, the two scientists watched with delighted anticipation. Sunshine was streaming in through the outer glass walls of the greenhouse, slanting down into the dome terrarium. Refracting through the fine spray inside, the rays formed a lovely rainbow. "Ooh la la, magnifique!" the professor called out. Look now, the waterfall has started, Evan told him. That took only 43 seconds once the rain hit the cliff. Ah, I should have thought to put some ferns by the cliff, the professor called out regretfully. How could I have forgotten to create ferns? Whatever we decide we need in the future, we can send in on the train, Evan reminded him. Louis will see that they're planted.
True, true.
The cascading water splashed down against the rocky cliff, gurgled eagerly through the soft farmland, and plunged merrily into the lake. For a few minutes, the two scientists stood in absolute bliss, admiring how well their glorious new world was functioning. Neither one had anticipated that a rainbow would stretch across the hills and valleys on opening day. Once they were satisfied that the new trees had settled in, Evan pressed the blue button to turn off the rain. They both hoped they would never have to use the black button. It was linked to the smoke sensors and the automatic emergency sprinklers. While the scientists waited 2 hours for the atmospheric conditions to regulate, they carefully monitored the computer programs to ensure that everything was in working order. And it was. When the jingle on his phone signaled time was up, Professor LeMann smiled at Evan triumphantly. Let's do this, he said. Accessing the dome app on his phone, the professor found the animal nursery settings, scrolled to the door, and toggled the open-close switch. A distant whir sounded. He did the same for the tunnel entrance, and they both watched excitedly as the tunnel doors opened up inside the large terrarium. Take pictures, Evan, he called out. This is a day to remember. One day we'll be telling the whole world about our tiny experiment. Evan had his phone ready as the first rainbow lorikeets arrived, soaring up through the tunnel and then circling around inside the dome. When the colorful birds landed in the pine trees at the top of the highest hill, Evan took even more pictures. Bright little eastern bluebirds with their rosy red breasts were next, then northern cardinals and common loons, all the professor's favorites. A brown cow and two black-faced sheep ran in, mooing and baying loudly as they kicked up their heels and danced all over the rolling pasture land. Two puppies playfully chased after the frisky red squirrels. A few ducks waddled in while 30 chickens ran past. Next, a tentative striped orange cat crept in cautiously, followed by leaping rabbits and two shy deer. There were even some insects, helpful insects, none of the annoying, destructive variety. Even though flies and mosquitoes would have provided ideal food for some of the birds, a decision had been made that formulated dry pellets would be supplied instead. Choosing their favorites, the professor and Evan had miniaturized the prettiest species of butterflies and moths, lots of honeybees and fireflies. Due to their short lifespan and proven infertility, the insects would have to be miniaturized and released every month. Listen to our creation, Evan exclaimed to the smiling professor. From the hidden microphone located under the school roof, songbird music was ringing through the speakers they had set up in the paradise room. Barks, moos, baas, squeaks, and a rooster crow added to the melody. C'est fabuleux. This is fabulous, the professor sighed happily. Our perfect world has come to life. We've done it. Our perfect world, Evan considered with a triumphant smile. Yet he had just the smallest twinge of conscience. It had taken years of research and effort to create the tinies and their wonderful world. But Evan knew they hadn't given life to anything. They'd only manipulated what already existed. Hastily, Evan dismissed the disconcerting thought, just as he had numerous times before. Opening a bottle of champagne purchased weeks ago for this very occasion, he joined the professor in joyfully celebrating their enormous accomplishment. All these years of research have been completely worthwhile, Evan burst out with elation. This is absolutely amazing. It's come together just as we hoped. Congratulations, Jax LeMans.